I'd like to now introduce our 10-minute speaker, and tonight we want to welcome Richard from San Diego.
Hello, my name is Richard, and I am an alcoholic. Since I only have 10 minutes, I'm going to talk a little fast, so if you listen a little faster, you may not have to look to your neighbor to hear what I just said. So I'll just tell you, I started drinking young, 11 years old, like most people, and I drank for about 30 years. And I always wondered, when did I become an alcoholic? Did I become an alcoholic because I drank a certain amount of alcohol, say 1,000 gallons of alcohol passed through my system? Is that when I became an alcoholic, or was I alcoholic before I ever took the first drink? So I asked myself this question, and after reading the book and taking these steps, I started to learn about that. Because most people think of the alcoholic as the fellow that's laying in the gutter with the tattered up trench coat, clung on to the bottle with the brown paper sack around and it's empty. But when did that gentleman become an alcoholic? Did he become an alcoholic while he was laying in the gutter there? Was he an alcoholic before that when he was standing upright taking a drink of that bottle? Was he an alcoholic before that when he was standing in front of the liquor store asking for change in order to get that bottle? Could he have been an alcoholic before that when he was gainfully employed as a janitor at the bank? Or maybe it was even before that when he was employed at that bank as a teller. Or when he was employed at that same bank as a bank executive. Or maybe it was even before that when he was bank president and had his house on the hill. So he could have got off that ladder at any time during that point. But some people have to go all the way to the bottom with this disease of alcoholism. I came in here a few times on gift cards. Some people call them court cards. Some people call them attendance slips. I call them gift cards. But I didn't want to listen to the gift. I didn't want the gift. One time I became kind of broken homeless, and I called a friend of mine that was in recovery, and he got me into the detox center down there on Island Avenue, 1111 Island, and I went through the 10-day program. I came out of the 10-day program, and I said, my only problem, it really is financial. If I had money, I could do this thing right. So I got a job. AA at that time taught me to be fully self-supported through my own contributions. And I thought, well, if I had a job and I could be somewhat of a functioning alcoholic, I could take care of myself and do things the way I want to do. So I had to take my own will back and go back out and practice some more. But I learned to be self-supporting. I learned to be somewhat of a functioning alcoholic. But I found out why they said this is an inside job, because through the next 12 years, I kept dying inside. I end up in jail 3 more times. I end up in the hospital 3 more times. The last couple, I end up with a heart attack, and they did 2 angioplasties, put 3 stents in me. But I didn't associate that with alcoholism, and I didn't associate that with also the other party favor I was doing along with alcoholism. But since it's alcohol meeting, we'll leave that out. So I came out of the hospital. I went right back to my old ways. See, I wanted to be the one that could drink like a gentleman. I wanted you to take your hats off to me. But I found out I had a hard time with drinking like a gentleman like that. So anyway, I decided, they say, take a trip, not take a trip. I heard the gentleman read. I decided to take a trip. The only problem when I was taking that trip, the disease traveled with me. So I was driving down the road, and when I was driving down the road, some people call them blackouts. I say it's an involuntary nap. I had one of them involuntary naps, and I thought I was back at home. While I was driving down the road, I thought I was back at home, and I was asleep in my bed. And then somebody came to wake me up. He was knocking on my shoulder. Hey, buddy, are you all right? Are you all right? I said, who broke into my apartment? Who broke into my house? But then I remembered I was driving down the road, and when I looked up, the hat I wanted to be able to take off to drink like a gentleman was laying down here, and it was filled with blood that was falling out of my face. My car was totally smashed in. And then I had found out I got into a head-on collision and hit somebody else. But then I found out what the grace of God meant, because by the grace of God, I didn't have a vehicular manslaughter charge on me, because the person I hit was not injured at all. And by the grace of God, he just had to get his car fixed, and luckily I had insurance at that time. My car was totaled. They took it. They had some angels came, take me to the hospital. After that, another angel in another uniform came after 2 days, and he took me to this hotel. The hotel had the bars on it. I had to spend some time in there, and there I found out a little bit about this disease of alcoholism. They said, you have a disease of the mind, and I started to understand what they're talking about when they say, we said, Richard essentially drinks alcohol because the effects produced by alcohol, even though he knows it may cause injury to himself and or others, Richard cannot tell the truth from the false, so he'll still pick up that drink, and I had to learn about that. I came out that I got out and I seen that other angel in the long black robe, and he gave me one more of those gift cards. But this time I decided to hold on to that gift. I came into the rooms. I flew back to San Diego. I came into the rooms and truly surrendered myself to this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I started to go to meetings. I went to, found a home group. I started to go. I got more than one home group. Actually, I got two home groups. I go to meetings. I started, got a sponsor. He started taking me through the steps. They kept telling me, read the book in the meetings. Read the book. I'd go home and I'd open the book. I'd read a couple of sentences out of it. I'd put it down. What did I just read? What did I just read? I can't remember it. My mind was still so fogged up from all the alcohol and everything. I went into a meeting. I said, you people keep telling me to read this book. I keep trying to read it, but I can't remember it. I can't comprehend it. The words are funny. I said, get a dictionary. Look them up. This other lady said, find it on CD. They sell it on CD. You can listen to it and read along with it. I went to this one speaker meeting. They had it on CD, the five CD set. I looked at it and said, $29. I said, $29? Good Lord, that's a lot of money for a CD. And I thought about it. Wow, you wasted more than $29 in a couple minutes out in the disease. If you're not willing to spend $29 for your recovery, something's wrong. And that was a small change. Strange started to come about. They say you have to change one thing about yourself, everything. So I started to change. I started to take hold of that program. I got the CD. I listened to it. I'd read along with it. Some of that stuff in the book started to sink into my mind, and I started to understand about this disease. Somebody told me he looked those words up, like disease, break them down to syllables. He said, dis-ease. I had a dis-ease in my mind. I had to think about that and look at it. They said, take the steps. My sponsors are taking the steps. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Well, that was obvious. If I have to be selfish enough to drink and drive and get into an accident and get thrown in jail, that's pretty much powerlessness. You know, I don't have any control over the drink. And pretty much getting thrown in jail, getting put in a, they call it asylums in the book. I think in the modern day language would be a rehabilitation center. The sanitariums, I looked up that word, is a hospital. So I've been through all of those. So I believe that's the manageability. You know, they say, came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, I didn't think I was insane. How can I be insane? But then again, like I said, I was in those asylums, those sanitariums. I had to be locked away from society because of alcoholism. So that's a little bit of insanity. There's a bunch of other insanity, but I can't really go into all that in 10 minutes. You know, and then we then made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. My sponsor, he explained to me, you know, our will is our thoughts and the lives is our actions. He said, you know, try to get your thoughts aligned with that higher power that you believe in, that loving, caring God as I understand Him to be. So I try to align my thoughts with it, although my thoughts aren't always aligned with that, but as long as I don't carry a lot of those thoughts out into actions, I'm a little better off. He said, go to step four. I thought, well, once I do one, two, three, my life's turned over to God. Do I really have to go to step four? I kept thinking to myself, isn't that good enough? I was starting to feel good, too. You know, I found out God was good to me. He started to heal my wounds from the accident. I got a job again. I had money in my pocket. Everything was okay. But then the thoughts started to pop into my mind. Everything's okay again. You can maybe sneak off. You know, the court case is starting to go away. You can sneak off maybe and, hey, God, wait a minute. Let me go get this drink here. But then I thought, go back to step one. Remember how powerless, how unmanageable you are. Then I read in the book, it says a business that does not do a thorough inventory of itself usually goes broke. And that struck me. I thought, yeah, you know, I've worked in different businesses, and the ones that were doing inventories constantly, they're still around. The ones that weren't doing inventories, they're out of business. I said, maybe I better go do that step four. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So I did that. The hard part was admit it to somebody. I could admit it to myself. I could admit it to God. But do I admit it to somebody else? I heard a number of ways people did it. I went to go to do it with my sponsor. And I said, do I really want to tell this guy all these things that I've done that I wrote down on paper? And then he told me some things about himself. I said, whoa, this man's really sick. My little bit of stuff ain't going to bother him. So I went ahead and I told it to him. Step six, you know, it said we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So I still have a lot of defects of character, but, you know, I'm still working on those. But, you know, He has removed a lot of them. So I'm able to come up here without the fear that I once had and do a speech like this a little bit. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Humility, humbleness. It's a hard thing to do. And I have a hard time with it every day because I have a big ego and I want to have this ego that I'm the number one person. Everybody look at me. And that's why I like doing speaker meetings. But hey, I got to remember I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it as for the group to tell my story and let you people know that this program, Alcoholics Anonymous, does work. You know, then we go to step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I said, I got to do another list. They said, well, you already did the list when you did your 4-step. But then I found out there was maybe a few that I might have missed, you know. And then you have to go ahead and make the amends, make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so, would injure them or others. And 10, continue to take personal inventory, but when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Somebody told me when you do step 10, and you know it's on page 86, that when you read it at night, when we retire at night, we look it through. And somebody said, when you do step 10, don't just look at the bad things you've done through the day, also look at the good things. Because you don't do all bad through the day, you do good also, and make it a list. And I found out, you know, I do some good through the day. Maybe not a lot, but a little bit. Maybe I opened a door for a lady at a store. Maybe there was a clerk in a grocery store that was struggling, having a hard day, and I smiled and said, just take it easy, and you'll get through it, and everything was okay. You know, 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. The key word in there to me is improve. I've already made a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of God, but now I have to try to improve it, meditate, pray, and keep improving it. And I feel as long as I keep improving it, I'll remember that step 1, that I'm powerless and I won't go back to pick up that drink. I try to improve it all the time. And I can't tell you step 12 because I heard the duck quack, but thank you for allowing me to share. And by the grace of a loving God, the program Alcoholics Anonymous, as outlined in the big book, and the fellowship, which is you people, I have one more day sober. Thank you.